The James Croft Evangelistic Association presents Walking with a Giant, a monthly broadcast ministry of 3 foot 10 inch tall evangelist James Croft. Now, here's James.
Boy, am I excited! Welcome to the March 2008 edition of Walking with the Giant. We've been away for a few months, but maybe we're back on track now. And man, have we got a lineup for you today. Coming up, we'll be talking to Dr. James Gibson, who is a chaplain with a Civil War reenactment group. Man, it's an exciting ministry, and he's going to tell you all about it. A little bit later in the program, you'll also hear an update about this ministry. We'll give you an update about how our Christmas Joy Box program went and a few other things that are on the horizon. And then we'll have the second part of our message called Control Burn, so you don't want to miss it. But right now, let's go across the seas to Ghana, West Africa, and talk to Evangelist Ralph.
Time now for the Ghana Update. Bringing light to the dark continent, Evangelist Raphael Aji Kingbe shares the gospel of Jesus Christ in Ghana, West Africa.
Wow, it's been a little while since we've been able to talk to Evangelist Ralph. Welcome on to our program, brother.
Yes, Papa. It's a very long time we share with our brethren what is happening in our country here, Ghana, and how the Lord is working for the salvation of the people here, Papa.
I think either I've gotten lazy or I've been busy, one or the other, but we'll catch everything up today. How about that?
That would be fine, Papa.
All right. First of all, let me talk on the personal side with Evangelist Ralph. If you haven't heard the news about our Evangelist Ralph, his beautiful wife Mavis is with child again for the second time. So Evangelist Ralph is going to be Daddy Ralph again.
We give praise to God. We give praise to the Father.
Are you excited?
Boy, am I excited.
That's right. Now, you got a little boy, Ralph Jr. Are you hoping that this one is a girl or a boy, or does it matter?
If it will be my personal desire, I would love it to be a baby girl. The rest is to the Lord.
I gotcha. Well, our prayer is going to be that the mother and the baby will all be safe and healthy and that everything will go well.
That's very important, Papa.
And now Ralph will have even more opportunities to become frustrated as he prepares for preaching engagements, because instead of one child, he will now have two running around the house. But it'll be exciting.
Yeah, it will be exciting. It will be very exciting. Because, you know, with this one, when you are on the desk studying or writing, he wants to get hold of the pen. He wants to open the Bible himself. And it is something, but I know they will control.
Well, you know, he might be wanting to be a preacher if he's trying to open the Bible and grab your pen.
That's right.
You might have a future preacher there on your hands.
That's right.
Outstanding.
That's right.
Well, we'll be in prayer for Ralph and Mavis and baby Ralph and the future baby, or the baby that's there now, but just hasn't come into the world yet. So we'll be much in prayer for all of the family. Ralph, let's talk about the ministry a little bit. How have things been going since the first of the year?
Yeah, it's very exciting. We hold brief meetings here and there, like half night, all night. I mean, I hope you understand what I mean by all night, but I don't know how our listeners, but like we go into all night prayer session. We hold conferences and outreaches, preaching people to give their life to Christ one way or the other. But it's not too busy, Papa.
I understand. A lot of times the first of the year can be a little bit slower.
Yeah.
People are trying to get over Christmas and coming through the new year, and it takes a little while to get back in the normal routine, it seems.
Yeah, and people are so anxious to get things straight, like to get into their resolutions. So people are so anxious for money, they are so anxious to get job, they are so anxious to break through something, get something new for the start of the year. So people commitment even to the Lord is a way slow than getting into the media, Papa.
They're more focused on resolutions instead of on the Redeemer.
That's right. That's right.
That's exactly.
That's right. I like that statement. they focus more on their resolutions more than the Redeemer, Papa.
And we see that everywhere, unfortunately. Unfortunately. Now, tell me, you're still conducting some youth services, you and I were talking that by the time this program is heard, you will have gone to the medical school again and preached again there. So I assume all of the youth work and all is still going well.
Yes, Papa. Tomorrow morning I'll be going there to preach, because they will be moving into an evangelism outreach in one of the communities. So tomorrow morning I'll be moving there to share with them. Yeah, so we hold more of the youth services here, Papa. It's also exciting.
Will you be doing the Gathering of the Clouds this fall again?
I have to work on that, Papa.
I got you.
Because I'll be holding more of a church's crusade this time. So, you know, when you are not there, you don't have any good directions. I'm now building up young ones also to take over, most especially the crusade, so that I cannot hold two crusades at the same time.
Right. So you're beginning to see a shift in your ministry focus, instead of the mass crusades, into more of the church revival and crusade settings and more individualized training.
Yes, Papa. Yes, Papa.
Now, tell us about... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Because, you know, mass crusade is very expensive.
Oh,
you know?
Yes.
Yeah, so we have to see how best we have to change things. When we have the funds, like, you know, sometimes when you are coming down, you support us a lot in terms of mass crusade. So it makes it more effective in a way.
For those that are listening that may be new to the Walking with the Giant program and to the ministries of James Croft Evangelistic Association, in 2002 and 03 and 04, our team made trips to Ghana, West Africa, at the request of Evangelist Ralph and Zion Evangelistic Ministry, and we conducted three crusades, vacation Bible schools, church leaders conferences, and counselor training sessions. And God just richly blessed it. And in our last crusade alone, we had 600 to come to Christ. Ralph, talk to us about the building. Our ministry was able to construct a headquarters building for Zion Evangelistic Ministry. Tell me what that building is being used for at this time.
The building is used for Zion weekly activities, like prayer meetings on Mondays, Thursdays for normal services. And then there are some believers or Christians in the community, when they want to hold their like seminars and conferences, they do come to me, and then we give them out for them to hold their meetings. So it is being used purposely for the mission.
And that's what our agreement with Zion Evangelistic Ministry was all about, that we didn't want to promote one church over another in the community, but we wanted something that all of the churches could utilize. And so they were able to use it for youth services and special services, but they could not conduct regularly held church meetings there. Only Zion's group can do that. And they hold intercessory prayer time on Mondays, and then their regular Zion Evangelistic Ministry meeting times and worship times on Thursday nights. So we're just excited that everything is going well and the building is being utilized to the maximum.
Mm,
Well, Ralph, it's been great to talk with you again, brother.
Yeah, and I will encourage our listeners that this is a very good ministry for them to support so much. So they should do best respond to the call of God to support the ministry that the Lord has put in on Evangelist James Croft, and support him in every aspect that they can, so that the name of the Lord will be glorified, and then the name of the Lord will be lifted high, and then he will draw all men to himself, Father.
Well, I appreciate that, Ralph, and for our listeners, we do still financially support Evangelist Ralph and his family. We're unable to send a great sum of money, but we try to meet his basic living expenses so that he can continue to minister on a full-time basis. And so when they contribute to this ministry, they're contributing to Ralph's ministry in the process. So, and we appreciate those that do. Ralph, let's close with a word of prayer.
Yes, Papa.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the ministry of Zion Evangelistic Ministry. And God, I just pray that you constantly use Ralph and his team, that you would give them discernment, that you would help them to know, Lord, the things that would be in your perfect will for them to set out to do. And then, God, with them being in your perfect will, that you would bless in an abundant fashion, Lord, and that we would see many come to the saving knowledge and power of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the efforts that are put forth by that ministry. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's talk.
Okay.
Let's talk.
Thank you.
What do you got to say?
It's time now for Talking with the Giant. Here's James.
As many of you know, I live in the small community of Olestee, Florida. And every year in February, we are inundated with people wearing Civil War uniforms. Because near the town of Olestee is Olestee Battlefield. It's a Civil War battleground. The only major Civil War battle that was fought in the state of Florida. And so every February they come and reenact it, because February the 20th, 1864 is the date that the battle actually took place. And we get literally thousands of reenactors, men and women, complete in authentic uniform with authentic camping supplies, weaponry. Everything is authentic, and they reenact that battle. Well, you might think, well, is there any way to minister during an event such as that? Well, Dr. James Gibson is with us today, and he is a chaplain for one of the cavalry units. And so, first of all, Dr. Gibson, let me thank you for joining us today on our program.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, tell me a little bit. How did you get interested in the Civil War and then progress to a ministry, or how did that happen?
Well, I was born and raised in Oklahoma, and always been fascinated with cowboys and horses and all that. A number of years back, we did a program out at Camp Tracy there in McClenny called Pioneer Days.
Right.
It was a fundraiser for the camp out there, and we had Indians out there, and we had cowboys and mulers and all kinds of stuff going on. And they had a Wild West show, and so I showed up the second day with my pistol on my side, on horseback, and they started fighting, and so I started firing my blanks also at the same time. So I was invited to join the Wild West show. And one of the guys in there said, well, if you ride a horse and do all this, you ought to be in the cavalry in the Civil War reenactment. Mm-hmm. And so I began at that point in time attending a few reenactments and got into it as a ministry. And everywhere we go, we try to minister for the Lord at these reenactments.
Now, you pastor a church in Jacksonville, Florida.
That's correct. Yes,
so sir. I know that can limit you on the number of events that you can do. About how many reenactments do you participate in each year?
My church is real nice. Instead of doing revivals, I take 4 Sundays off a year to do reenactments and preach at those. And it's like a revival. And then anything that we can travel to within the state of Florida on our Friday and Saturday, we come back on Saturday evenings, and I'm in the pulpit on Sunday morning. And out of Olestee, normally I would be there on Thursday evening, all day Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday morning I'd preach at early service at Olustee, then travel back to Jacksonville, preach in my pulpit, and finish there and jump back in the car and race back to Olustee to fight in the final battle.
And for folks that don't live in the area of Florida that we are and some other states, that's about a 50-mile ride from Jacksonville to Olustee.
That's correct. Yes, sir.
So you do a little traveling to be able to make it to all of it.
Yes, sir, I sure do. We really enjoy it, though.
Now, where else will you go other than Olustee? What other events do you participate in?
We do a majority of those here in Florida, which is Horse Landing, which is in Palatka at the Road Heaver Boys
right.
Home. That's a great event. We do Mount Dora. We do Brooksville. The one that's coming up here in a couple of weeks is the Battle of Crystal River, and we engage in that. We go in and do living history. I'm a retired American history teacher. I teach college philosophy and religion at the current time. And so we'll go in on a Friday, and several thousand students will come through, and we teach them the history of the Civil War, things that you won't read in textbooks. And each time we do a presentation, I present the gospel, which is really neat. I'll tell them my 10-second sermon, which is really neat. I use that and use a little gospel magic at the same time. And really get their attention. And we pass out gospel tracts, at least 200 every event we go to.
That's outstanding. Now, you've also traveled to other states to do the reenactments, though, in the past, though, correct?
Yes, sir. We've been to Gettysburg. In fact, we were in a movie in Gettysburg. It's called 3 Days of Destiny. They did a movie. And I was Jeb Stuart's personal chaplain.
Okay.
And
outstanding.
Then also...
That was stereotyping, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. Also was bodyguard General Lee.
Oh, okay.
Reenactment up there in Gettysburg. Got to meet him. He's a very radiant Christian. I said, can we pray before the battle? And normally I will do the prayer for the troops and so forth. And, he started praying. General Lee started praying.
Is that
instead
right?
of me. So it's amazing.
That's great.
Great time. And each event, we've seen people come to know Christ as personal savior.
Now, just this year at the Battle of Olustee, I believe you said you had two.
Two of our guys in our group. Came to know Christ as personal savior. One a young man, 15 years of age, and the other guy was 28. And both of them got saved out there.
Outstanding. Tell us, how do you conduct a service in that setting? I've been down into the Sutler's Camp area and things like that. There's so much activity happening and taking place. How do you get the focus where it needs to be? And how does a sample service like that actually go?
We got to remember the cavalry's a division here, and they can't leave their horses for a long period of time. So they don't have time to go to the regular services or whatever like that. So we have a service right there in the cavalry camp among the horses and the campfire and all that. We'll have singing, have testimonies, and I'll preach and give an invitation. And then on the major ones I get to go to, then I'll preach at the regular service. They usually have a 10 o'clock service in the different ones. And I've preached in Virginia, and I've preached in Georgia, and here in Florida, at those services too.
That's outstanding. So it is conducted basically like a regular worship service,
yes.
then.
Yes.
Just everybody's in authentic clothing and everything else there.
That's right. That's right.
That's outstanding.
And see, a lot of the people who come to service like this will never go to church.
Exactly.
And it's a real opportunity for us to minister to them. They'll come up and ask me a question. It gives me an opportunity. To present the gospel to them also at the same time.
Exactly. You mentioned earlier a little Bible magic and
yes.
a 10-second sermon. Is that something, the 10-second sermon, could you share that one
oh,
with
yes.
us?
Oh, yes. I'll come up to somebody, hand one of our gospel tracts, and have a Bible in my hand, and I say, don't leave this world without Jesus Christ. Heaven is sweet. On the other hand, hell is hot, and you don't want to go there. And I open my Bible, fire shoots out of it. I close my Bible and walk away. And I have people come up to me, you got your Bible with you? Yes, sir. Well, this guy here needs preaching to. And that gives me an opportunity to share the gospel. And it's a gospel tract that I've written about the Civil War, and in that I give the plan of salvation. One thing I'd like to share with you, we also do the homeschool convention down in Jacksonville
right.
in June. And we set up tents there and set up displays, and we talk about our artifacts, and then we have a little reenactment there. Of course, we don't use the big guns. We have to use caps instead of the
sure.
fully loaded and such like that. And I noticed a young man in his shirt and tie, very neatly dressed young man. Came over several times. We talked to him, and he talked to the other guys and everything. And so we presented the gospel, and I did some gospel magic for the children and so forth and presented the gospel there. And then in our reenactment, I also shared the gospel. We had the Federals and the Confederates, and we were fighting. We were asking each other. We stopped and exchanged goods like they did in the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked them, why are you guys fighting here? And so we began a dialogue with that. Then I began to share with them. I said, make sure tomorrow when I come back that you've received Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Savior, because if the battle occurs, I may have to send you to the Maker.
Uh-huh.
And so presented the gospel again. So we got ready to leave on Saturday evening. One of the vendors came up to me and said, you don't realize what influence you have. My nephew's been traveling with me for 4 weeks now. He comes from a family up in Maine that never go to church. Jesus is never mentioned.
Right.
And for 4 weeks I've been witnessing to him. And last night in the motel, we began to discuss your presentation. And I said, you don't know the influence you had, but he came to know Christ as personal Savior.
Amen.
That night because of your reenactment and your presentations. So that's the excitement of that. Then I went back and shared it with our guys, and they all rejoiced.
Sure.
And were excited too at the same time. But everywhere we're going, whether it's in Virginia, I've preached a number of times at the birthplace of Jeb Stuart,
mm-hmm.
Up in Stuart, Virginia, or Mount Airy, North Carolina. It's around the border there. And we've had four or five people saved every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last time was 2 years ago we preached up there. We had two teenagers who wanted to be baptized in period costume. We baptized them in the creek, little waterfalls, right where Jeb Stuart used to play as a child.
Wow.
And it was really neat. Didn't know if there's enough water there or not, but everybody had gathered around, about 100 people gathered around to see the two teenagers baptized. So jokingly, I told them, I said, if there's not enough water, roll over, and we'll get you wet all the way around. But there was enough water, so we got to baptize them right there, and so that was real neat. Last year, we got to preach in Andersonville, the big battle up there.
Okay.
It's a town festival and all that. And there was another service going on, and Jimmy Carter was teaching a class over in Cartersville. A lot of people went over to that. But we had well over 150 people show up for our service, and we had 7 people come to know Christ as Savior.
Outstanding.
And so that was really good, too.
Outstanding. Well, God has just really opened up something that you enjoy doing to a ministry, and I guess something that not only involves your ministry as a pastor, but your love of the reenactment work and history and has put it all together into a package that can be used to bring glory to the Lord.
Yes. I'm the chaplain of the Alabama Volunteer Brigade, the 10th Tennessee Cavalry, the Florida Division Cavalry, and also chaplain of the Winston-Stevens Sons of Confederate Veterans here in McClinney, too.
Well, that's
so it's
great.
Real ministry.
For the folks who may want to know about getting involved in reenactments, is there a place you would advise them to look first?
There's a website here in Florida called Florida Reenactors Online.
Okay.
And that gives a listing of all the reenactments in Florida and basically here on the East Coast, mm-hmm. and such like that. And they can get in touch with that, or they can call me. We're always looking for recruits. In fact, we got this week got 3 new guys going to be involved in reenactment for the first time. And we'll help them get their equipment, uniforms, and all that, too.
Well, we'll make sure we put your contact information on our blog site and post it with this podcast so people can know more about it. If they want to reach you, you mentioned about the tracks. Is that something you make available to others if there's a Civil War buff out there that would like to have one of those?
Sure.
Or whatever, is that
sure.
something they
there's
can contact you with?
There's a book out called Christ in the Camp. It was written by Dr. William Jones, the chaplain of Robert E. Lee.
Okay.
And it's one of the greatest books on the Civil War and from a Christian viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives the testimonies of Robert E. Lee, Stonewall Jackson, General Cobb, Jeb Stuart, Gordon, all these people, and how they received Christ as Savior. And it's a great deal. So I sort of pick up a little bit on that on my gospel track, and then I go and present the plan of salvation in very simple terms that they can
sure.
understand, with the sinner's prayer with it, of course.
Exactly. Well, I tell you what, Dr. Gibson, I appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and it's always, for those who have never attended a reenactment, if you get a chance to go, It's really an exciting and informative thing to view. I know I've seen the one at Olustee many times, and first of all, it's going to be very colorful. But second of all, I know with the reenactment in Olestee, they try to reenact it exactly the way that battle was fought. And, so you get a living history lesson right in front of you, basically.
Right. Majority of our unit, the guys that I, reenact with are all Christians. We've got three or four pastors in there and some, a couple of deacons and Susco teachers and RA workers. And right. We just fellowship together. It's like a brotherhood. And, so that makes it nice. It's a good family atmosphere.
It is.
And, it's our ministry too at the same time.
Well, that's outstanding. Well, we wish you well with it and just pray that the Lord will continue to use you in a mighty way.
We appreciate that very much. God bless you.
Would you close our session in prayer?
Yes, love to. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your love through Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for the different ministries that are out there, unique ministries that a lot of people never hear about. Father, we pray to continue to bless us as we travel around the state and around the nation as we present the gospel in a unique way. Father, we pray that through our gospel distribution and through our many sermons and through our preaching, people come to know him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Time now for a Giant update. Here's what's happening in the ministry of the Giant.
Hey, let's take a few moments to get caught up on some of the ministries of the James Croft Evangelistic Association. In December, we held our first ever Christmas Joy Box program. Man, that was exciting. It's where we provide shoeboxes filled with gifts for nursing home residents. We collected 90 boxes of joy to distribute at area nursing homes. And oh my goodness, you should have seen the smiling faces and just felt the appreciation that we felt as we delivered those boxes. If you'd like to know more about that program and maybe see a video and look at some photos, if you go to my website, jamescroft.org, and click on Joy Box Ministry, it'll tell you all about the program. You'll be able to see a video that was produced about the program, as well as a photo gallery of pictures from the program. Take a look at it and tell us what you think. Also, if you'd like to be involved in the 2008 Christmas Joy Box program, if you'll drop me an email at evangelist@jamescroft.org, we'll tell you how you can get involved because we're already making plans for the 2008 edition of this ministry. March is shaping up to be a busy month for me. The 3rd and 4th of March, I'll be attending the ITEL Evangelism Conference, which is sponsored by the Florida Baptist Convention down in Orlando, Florida. I'll be working at the booth for the Conference of Florida Baptist Evangelists, which I'm a member of. And if you happen to be attending the conference, stop by and let's meet personally. Also, the following Sunday, I'll be beginning revival services at Crossroads Baptist Church in Cottondale, Florida. And then the Sunday after that, I'll begin revival services at Beulah Baptist Church in Live Oak, Florida. And then the following Sunday, Easter Sunday, I'll be preaching with my friends at Huntsville Baptist Church in Lake City, Florida. So a busy time of preaching and ministering for the Lord during the month of March. If you'd like to stay up to date with the schedule and see more details about these events that I've just told you about, if you'll visit the ministry website, jamescroft.org, and just click on schedule, it'll give you all of the up-to-date information. I'd also like to say our video ministry is progressing very nicely. We added some very cute videos during the month of December around Christmas time, and we've added a few more since then. I hope you'll be sure and check that out. Again, go to the website. Everything can happen through that website, jamescroft.org, and you'll be able to see some of those videos as well as hear podcasts, go to our ministry blog. Everything is right there for you. Also, I'd like to say that if you would like to know more about this ministry, we've produced a new brochure about this ministry. It's just a little threefold brochure that gives you an overview of all of the ministries of the JCEA. And we'd love to be able to put one of those in your hands if you're a pastor or a group leader for some type of ministry. Also, we have a ministry DVD that will show you a little bit more than the brochure will even tell you. If you'd like to have any of those items, if you will email me at evangelist@jamescroft.org, and if you forget that email address, just go to the website, jamescroft.org, and it'll give you that email address, as well as give you the phone number and the mailing address that you can contact me. And we'd love to send you one of those brochures or one of those DVDs if you're interested more in this ministry. And as always, I never like to mention it too much, but this ministry sustains itself through the generous contributions and donations from folks like you and from the preaching engagements that I go to. If you would like to know more about financially supporting this ministry, or if you would like to send a contribution, hey, praise God, it will be accepted with love from my heart and much appreciation. You can go to the website, jamescroft.org, and there's information about how you can make a donation with your credit card or how you can send a check. And so all of that is right there on the website. Feel no pressure. Please don't think we're asking you or begging you for money, but some people ask along how they can help with the various internet ministries and the podcast and the video ministry and the Joy Box ministry and Evangelist Ralph in Ghana, West Africa, helping that ministry. And that's the way that you can do it, is through the financial contributions that you make to this ministry. And it is very, very much appreciated. But right now, let's take a little time to get into the Word of God with the second part of our message called Control Burn.
Words these days are cheap, but there are words that last forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Let's get into that eternal Word now.
If you're excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning, would you say, "Boy, am I excited"? Let me show you something else that a control burn does. Notice down in verse number 13, it says, "Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is." This is interesting. My dad said that he would always prefer to go mark timber in a plot of land that had a control burn go through it than he would one that had not. And he said the reason was that a control burn removes the roughage so you can see where you're going. You know, you see if there's anything there that can tangle you up. Well, you know what? We need a little control burn in our spiritual life from time to time. We let a lot of roughage begin to build up in our life, and we get to where we can't see the things that we're supposed to be actually focusing on. We get so busy that we lose sight of what it's all about. Dr. David Jeremiah has said, keeping the main thing is the main thing. And so that's what you and I need to be striving to do. You know what? But since I've gone into full-time ministry, I am busier now than when I worked a full-time job and was still preaching. I don't know how I got everything done. I'm walking around like, you know, I'm staying busy all the time. And you know what? The last couple of weeks, I've had to start analyzing, what am I doing? Because I'm seeing things not get done that used to get done when I was working, and I got more time. And I think what it is that as I've had more free time, look on new busy little projects that really don't do anything. And I stay busy, but I'm not accomplishing what I set out to do. And so I've had to try to rethink, what is the priority? What are the things that need to be done that will glorify God and this ministry really be used, and not just little busy things to say, "Oh, well, I've done this, this, and this, and this," you know. And we all do that way. We all let things kind of come up around us. It's interesting that in the forest, the more roughage that is there, as it begins to build up around the trees, it begins to stifle the growth of some of the trees. And so one of the things that control burn will do is it'll get rid of that roughage, and so the timber can grow better. You know what? If we do a little control burning in our heart, and we get rid of some of the roughage that's bogging us down, we might begin to see God could use us even more effectively, because now we can grow better than we were before. And so, you know what? You and I need to clear out some of the roughage. Jesus says in Luke chapter 6, verse 42, he says, Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite! First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Whoo! Boy, that roughage can make us look at everybody else and act like we so holy and pious, and we just live in a perfect life, and the whole time we can't see all the mess we got all around us. But boy, we can see everybody else's, can't we? Oh, we just sit back and go, you know what? I knew if it just kept building up like that, pretty soon he'd stumble and fall. I've been just waiting for it. You know, he didn't keep his eyes focused on the right thing. Or we turn around and go, well, you know what? The old heifer just kept on. And look what happened to her, you know? I knew it was going to happen. She just kept doing things. And it just kind of built up and lost sight of what she's supposed to be doing. And the whole time, we just got undergrowth all over us. And we can't see anything but what's wrong with somebody else. And Jesus saying, get that log at your own eye first before you start worrying about what's in somebody else's. And so a control burn will begin to clear out the roughage in our life. It says the fire will reveal it. Do you know what? Not only do we need that spiritual control burn now, do you know that there is going to be another control burn that as Christians we will go through? That's what the scripture is referencing here. You and I one day will stand before a holy and righteous God, and there's going to be this fire, and all the things that you and I have done in the name of Jesus is going to be thrown through that fire. And the Bible says that not everything is going to come out on the other side. Some of it's going to get burned up. Some of it's going to get consumed. And so, you know what? It's a control burn. Now, you know what? That's a little scary to think about it. The things that you and I have done will be revealed by fire. Oh, well, preacher, taught a Sunday school class for 25 years. Bet you that makes it through the fire. Why did you teach it? Why did you teach it? Well, started out, they just didn't have anybody else to fill the class. You know, and I just felt kind of bad, and I figured, well, I'll take it for a while, you know, And didn't really want to do it, but I jumped on it. I taught it. And, you know, after a while, boy, I got really fired up over that. And for, you know, 5-10 years, man, everything was just great. And, you know, saw a lot of things happen and all. And then it just got to be work to me again. And you know, and it was just like a job to teach it week in and week out. And I don't know. It just, my heart just wasn't in it anymore and all. Well, I still, yeah, I'm still doing it, you know. It's because ain't nobody else to step up to the plate. Get out, and so I got to just keep on doing it and all. Well, I wonder how much of that's going to make it through the fire. You see, you weren't doing it because you love the Lord, because every person that sat down in that classroom was a potential soul that is either going to heaven or to hell, and God has put them in your pathway that you might win, you see, or teach them and educate them and nurture them. You see, you didn't look at it that way. It was just something I had to do. Nobody else, I took it on. Or you know what? I just didn't, you know, it just got you know, the same old thing. And I bet you that won't all make it through the fire because the right reason wasn't there. What's in our heart? The reason we do things in our heart, you see, that control burn will reveal those things. Notice what the scripture goes on to say in verse number 14. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. Now remember, we're building with one of six items or multiple items from our little stack we had laid out here. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. Let me ask you this. Those that are building with the wood, hay, and straw because it's the cheapest way for you to get by in serving the Lord, how much of that you reckon is going to make it through that fire? Last time I checked, wood, hay, and straw would go up like that, wouldn't it? In fact, that'd just fuel the fire a little bit more. Gold, silver, and precious stones come out even better than when they went into the fire. You know, it's very easy for us each to allow roughage to build up into our heart. It starts out as just little things that begin to cloud our vision, and pretty soon then we've got tunnel vision and we can't see what's going on around us, and the devil is able to trip us up and make us stumble. So we need to keep that roughage from blocking our view. We need to keep things clear spiritually in our heart and in our mind. That way we can see all of the things the devil will try to trip us up with. I hope that you are living a life that is free of roughage. Odds are we all got a little left there somewhere that we need to get rid of. Let's strive to do that every day. But my friend, do you know that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do you know the devil is putting roughage in your pathway to keep you from seeing that you need a Savior? A lot of people sit back and say, well, I live a good life. I'm a good person. I don't have to do those types of things. Well, that's the roughage the devil has allowed to come into your life and place there so that it would skew your vision of what you need to be doing spiritually. My friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's so easy. As I always say, it's as easy as ABC. A, you got to be willing to admit that you're lost. Acknowledge that you're a sinner. B, put all your belief and trust and faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. C, confess Him with your mouth. Be willing to say a simple little sinner's prayer, asking Him to come into your heart and save you from your sins, acknowledging that you're lost, and without Him, there is no hope. And C can also mean commit your heart and your life to Him. He wants all of you, not just a part of you. And I always throw in the letter D, do it. Don't wait, because you never know when it could be too late. Hey, if you'd like to know more information about this, visit the James Croft website at jamescroft.org and then click on the link that says, Do You Know? If you should have questions, email me. I'll do my best to find the answers for you. Well, that's all the time we have on our program for today. It's been so great having you along. In fact, it'd probably been no fun without you. So I'm glad that you were with us this month. And I hope you'll join us again next time for another edition of Walking with a Giant. God bless you.
You have been Walking with a Giant, a monthly update on the ministries of the James Croft Evangelistic Association. Walking with the Giant is available as a free web download, or you can receive the program each month on CD. Visit us on the web at jamescroft.org, or for more information, call 386-752-1563. This program is made possible by the generous support of our listeners and by the unmeasured blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ.